you know that the families that attend live Homeschool Made Simple seminars tend to be the folks that stay the course with our methods for the years to come? There's something wonderful about the excitement that's generated by being in a room full of like-minded families, hearing success stories, fathers meeting other fathers, and teens connecting with new friends. It is said that repetition is the mother of learning. If you want to hold fast to these time-proven methods, it's essential to hear this information regularly as your children's needs and ages change. Join us in Dallas, Texas on Saturday, August 29th. We have lots of new and exciting information, speakers, and breakout sessions. Register at homeschoolmadesimple.net/seminars. I can't wait to see you there.
You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using a literature-based approach to education with my own three children. Back in episode 262, Carol talked with the founder of Well-Read Mom, Marcy Stockman. Since then, several of us on the Homeschool Made Simple board and myself have joined Well-Read Mom groups and participated in the book club. In this episode, I invited Linda Sarna and Kara Beck to talk about the books we read during this past year, which was The Year of the Teacher. We share how being a part of Well-Read Mom is helping us grow both as women and as readers.
By God's grace, my wife and I found Carol and Homeschool Made Simple. This ministry gave our family a vision for educating our children through classical literature and drew our family closer together. That's why we joyfully give each month so other families can experience that same blessing and be inspired to raise the next generation of poet warriors for God's kingdom.
Please visit our website at homeschoolmadesimple.net/donate or click the link in the show notes to donate now. Thank you for your partnership in this work. Now let's get into the episode. Well, today I'm joined by two of Homeschool Made Simple's board members that have been on the podcast before, but today we're here to talk about our year with Well-Read Mom. We did Year of the Teacher this year with Well-Read Mom, and so we wanted to talk about some of the books that we did, but unfortunately, Carol is not able to be with us today, but she's the whole reason we're here and are even a part of Well-Read Mom, so I thought we could explain first what drew us to Well-Read Mom. And so we've got Linda Sarna and Kara Beck with us today. They're both in Minnesota. And so, yeah, welcome to the podcast, ladies. You want to share what drew you to Well-Read Mom when Carol told you about this crazy idea?
Well, thanks for having us.
Please do.
My oldest daughter, Mackenzie, listened to the podcast and then called me and said, "Mom, have you listened to the podcast yet?" And I'm like, "No, I haven't listened to it yet." She goes, "You have to listen to it." So she said, "I want to do this." And so then I listened. And Kara had asked me to be a part of her group the year before, but it just didn't work for me. And so then Mackenzie was really the catalyst after. Then I listened to the podcast and then I got kind of jazzed up about it too. So that's why we started a group together, Mackenzie and I did.
Okay. Yeah. And that's episode 262 that you're talking about, where Carol talked with Marcy Stockman, who's the founder of Well-Read Mom.
Yeah. And for me, it was more like related to, I think Carol and I were having a consult and she just brought up her experience that she was having with her original group in Guthrie and just how much she was enjoying speaking with these women who I believe were predominantly like elder or older women in her town. And so I just kind of looked it up online and saw if there was a group in my area because Marcy is from Minnesota. So there was some, you know, I thought it would be fairly likely. And it was literally just across the lake from me. And it worked in my schedule with my kids. And so I thought, oh, I'll try it. And I started mid-year in the year before this one. And so it was kind of hard at first to get in the groove of reading and things of that nature. But I was really grateful for that original few months. And then and my group was small. It was like three ladies who all go mm-hmm. to this small little Catholic church in Loretto. And they had been meeting for a number of years. And sometimes we'd all four be there. Sometimes we wouldn't. And we brought really delicious snacks.
That always sweetens the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the official, like, homemade kind, you know, from, you know, grown rhubarb wow. and things like that. So it was, and all three of the ladies in my group are over the age of 70. So it was really yeah. sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very cool.
We have really good snacks too. And one of the highlights was one of the girls brought, when we read Giants in the Earth, she brought like some kind of Norwegian pudding, rice pudding wow. or something. She threw the trouble of looking it up and made this big dish of it. It was kind of fun. So we've been, no one else has done that really, but we've like talked about, well, we should have corn pone when we're listening to this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really getting into it. I just met with two of my friends. We just always met at Starbucks. So no crazy dishes, and we had little toddlers with us, but it was still fun to find these little pockets and talk about these books that maybe we wouldn't have read otherwise or wouldn't have read together. So each year, Well-Read Mom picks a theme for the year. So this past year was the year of the teacher, and the year before that, that Kara's referring to, was the year of the father, and then this year coming up is year of the woman. So then all of the books chosen are related to that theme, though it doesn't always seem, it's not necessarily really obvious. You want to talk about that, Linda? Like what the theme maybe meant to you this year, or like how things were related to it?
Yes, I don't think it was always really obvious. I mean, Christy was one of the books and she was a teacher. Okay, so that's obvious. But I loved how they kind of drew out the, or reading books while you're kind of thinking about the theme, because mm-hmm. it's like, where is the teacher in this book? And like I really needed help with The Hunchback of Notre Dame. It was like the cathedral, the architecture was the teacher mm-hmm. in that one. And there were other aspects too, but that was, I enjoyed reading with that mm-hmm. in mind. When we were talking about Christy, I've read Christy a few times, and so I was looking forward to reading it again, but reading it with that in mind, it was like more obvious to me that it wasn't just that Christy was the teacher. She was learning from these people around mm-hmm. her, and there were so many teachable moments for in her life. And so I did love having that theme in the back of my mind as I was reading.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I would agree. I feel like the theme is the year of the father was perhaps a little easier to see the father, mm-hmm. you know, clearly represented in the few books I was a participant in. But I think this year, the teacher, it really opened my mind up to even my own role as a literal teacher. You know, like there's just been a lot more teacher influences in my children's lives that I think I can more quickly mm-hmm. identify now through the that theme being present. So, like for example, the teacher being the architecture in the church in Notre Dame, the Hunchback story, you see the importance of things like your home and your space. And how that is a teacher mm-hmm. to your children. It isn't just humans. It's nature, the toil of nature mm-hmm. and the giants of the earth. It's traditions. It's lots of things that can be identified mm-hmm. as teacher.
Yeah.
So it gives a greater orbed value, I think, to what lifestyle we've been able to create for our families through this method, mm-hmm. even of homeschooling.
Totally.
Yeah.
So maybe we've referred to some of the books, but maybe we could do some superlatives about, you know, favorites, difficult, surprising, that sort of thing. So what was the most surprising book to you as far as the plot line and maybe like it being unexpected?
The End of the Affair.
Yeah.
Loved that book. I was just like, whoa, at the end. It was so good.
Yeah. That I was going to say the same one, the same thing. It was just a surprising, I have goosebumps, honestly, just as I'm talking about it and bringing it up. And it's been one of my favorite books, I think, of all time thus far as an adult, not just the books I've read aloud to the kids, but
yeah.
It was so honest.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. That's The End of the Affair by Graham Greene. And yeah, I think it was so surprising because it's a book all about the, for our listener, about the interior life, really, and the of these people in an extramarital affair, but without it being salacious or vulgar or this like building up of the promiscuity of their relationship, but the real struggle. And Carol and I have talked about this book, actually, and it was probably one of the most, her most surprising as well, but that she ended up enjoying it so much, and like how she talked with her group about it being like such an evidence of grace that to see their, the characters process. And yeah, it, I feel like I really struggled to talk about the book. It's left such an impression on me, but I also don't know how to talk about it yet. It's still like, I feel like I might even need to reread it to really let it sink in, because I was so surprised. I was so surprised the whole time of just like, what is happening, and trying to make sense of it all. And then was like, okay, now I know the plot, but going back and like understanding some of the layers, I guess, of it would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think was really striking to me about the book was how C.S. Lewis has a book called A Grief Observed, where he's talking about the loss of his wife, who was his most loved. She just, they had such an amazing love affair and as a married couple. And how he struggled to speak about her because he felt like he left out like the trueness of her because he could only remember the good, not the bad. And I feel like this, and that wasn't honest in his mind, because he knew she did have parts of her that were difficult. And I think like almost in reverse with this book, like they were he was remembering her with such like more viscerally, and just with such like he was crafting a story in her about her that made her almost like a mythological creature that wasn't actually what she was doing and how she was so honorable and what she had promised to her husband and why she cut it off. And I mean, it just was, just the grief and the joy of love and the suffering of love that you can't have, and choosing, you know, duty and your value. Like it was just, there were so many things in the book that were just so hard and so good and so beautiful. And I think in some ways it kind of almost reminds me a little bit of God's love for us in some ways, like how Christ, you know, chose us, who and what he suffered on our behalf to obey the Father, you know, and just who are not faithful people, you know, to him. So I don't want to over spiritualize it, but he is wrestling with even his own ideas of God through the story.
Yes. I loved how it ended, and I hope this doesn't spoil it for people. It was like he started asking the same questions that she was asking early on. You know, like, we don't believe in God, but, well, God, I don't love you. I hate you, but, well, I can't hate you because you're not real. But then she's having this conversation, and it slowly turns to, I actually really love God, and I want to follow him and be obedient to him. And he goes through this whole thing where he's like, you know, angry or whatever. But at the end, he's saying, but I hate you, God. Well, why am I even saying that? Because I can't hate something that's not real. And it's like this whole cycle of, again, you know, it's like, I loved how, you know, it's like God moves, he works in our lives. I agree with Carol. I think it was just a really concrete example of God's grace to save people.
And heal.
And heal. Yeah.
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 It's back to school, and as you're settling in for autumn, what better way to bring joy into cozy evenings than with rollicking music your children can play together? Instead of driving your children to music lessons, the whole family can learn from the comfort of your home for less than one private lesson. Choose from either guitar, piano, violin, ukulele, or mandolin, and get back valuable time in your day. Your children will be self-motivated to practice by quarterly challenges, contests, cash prizes, and the Vogtberg Method's proven success path, where students work to learn new skills and songs on their instrument for badges mailed to your doorstep. Students no longer have to wait a week to have their teacher correct improper form or get help. Expert Vogtberg Music Academy instructors are accessible 24/7 for your students' questions. And live coaching calls and student showcases ensure your student will have the support they need, from first unboxing their instrument, to tuning it, to playing their first song, their first week. If you're looking to make your child's experience with music fun, affordable, and effective, and efficient, check out VogtbergMusicAcademy.com and use our code HOMESCHOOL25 for 25% off your first month. Join thousands of other families learning music in a like-minded community your children will love to be a part of. Now let's get back to the show. Yeah, I love that. I was also very surprised by Giants in the Earth as far as the ending. I won't ruin it for anyone. But I was like, wait, really? Mm-hmm. What? I'm like, okay, I'm understanding this correctly, right? You know, and then it's just like, okay, wow, just fell off a cliff, you know, and bam, that's it. I was expecting so much more redemption and like victory from this story, you know, and that just was not what happened. So that was surprising for me.
No. Yes. That was a really hard story for me to read because I have Norwegian and Swedish generations who came over to the country that way. And a couple of my family members were indentured servants and they only spoke Norwegian. I believe these were Swedes. So it's a little, the culture isn't necessarily the same, but fairly close. And the stoicism and I think a lot of the hardship and the agony, you know, my grandparents had siblings who died and, you know, just died in fires, died of starvation. Like, but the thing that really struck me so much about it was how dark it was. Like when she was, I can't remember the name specifically, but the main female character and just her mental struggles that she had in the darkness and that it was worse than being on a ship. We don't get the full sense of that anymore living in the prairie here, but because of city light, but it is a very dark, big, vast place, an ocean to be in the South Dakota, Western Minnesota prairie, and how there wasn't even birds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just little things that just really, really struck me, it being a story of our surroundings and of a lot of our heritage as a culture in the upper Midwest here. So it was really hard. And I think the cost to her mental well-being in the way her husband lived, you know, in his drive and his intensity and his own dishonesty, just living with those things hidden in her heart, how she was taught.
Yeah.
Taught by that and taught by the surroundings and the suffering and the drive of a good man, but still just that the quiet loneliness and how terrifying that was.
Yeah. When he talks to the pastor that comes through and he's kind of starting to realize, ask questions about, you know, should I not have brought her out here? Should I have waited? You know, starting to self-reflect a little bit, but it's like, I mean, what's done is done at this point. You know, she's already suffered the agony and so many of those things torment her because of how they unfold and because of the, you know, the way she is depressed. Then it like feeds on her. Those things, you know, get twisted sometimes too, where it's like, well, that's not exactly what happened, but she's in such a dark place that it becomes this further torment to her. And yeah, it was hard to read her suffering. For sure.
Yeah. Just the suffering in general. Like it was her, it was the family that came through who had to leave their son. Like, and just what that was, the cost of that. Like, I just think sometimes we're not, well, even upon the 250th anniversary of our country, like, we're not that connected, right, to all, you know, that type of story as much.
We read Little House on the Prairie, and it's kind of romanticized West and all of that. And it was hard. It was really hard. Even the long winter, you know, Little House on the Prairie is like, still, and it was not this reality. I think that's what Giants, just the reality of what really, like, being in the dugout, and then he paints it white, which was great in the winter or in the summer, but then the winter came and it was just white everywhere, and just, you know, it's like, oh, you just for a woman to be, that was her place, a home, and it was so small and cramped and confined.
Yeah. Okay, what about the most difficult book for you? The thing about well-read mom is they will ask you to read hard books.
I would say for me it was, there might be two.
Yeah.
Purgatorio for sure, and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And Hunchback of Notre Dame took probably until I got 50% of the way through before it was enjoyable. And then Purgatorio, I'm trying to read instead of listen, because I'm like, I just want to read these. And I finally gave up and listened because it was just hard to get into the cadence of it. But I do want to put a plug in for Well-Read Mom here, because they have the deep dive interviews and the extra resources and stuff, which really got me excited to read Purgatorio, even though it's at like, oh, I have to read this. I don't know if I really want to. And then I listened to a couple of those deep dives and the interviews, and I was like, okay, I can do this. I really want to do it now. And so it kind of gave me vision to push through. So plug for their resources.
Yeah, my leader went above and beyond in her accumulation of extra information about Purgatorio and just Dante in general. And I actually would love to read if that particular author has rewritten all three. It would be a really wonderful thing to read, because I like Pinocchio of the year before, which has been one of my most transformative book experiences, and my son has now read it and given it to many friends. But I so enjoyed the translation of the book, but I wish it would have been read aloud to me, because I think it's like Shakespeare, you know, you kind of get into that sort of poetic cadence, and I think it would have been easier to grasp, because some of it for me isn't really the book, it's the when I'm asked to read it. And it's like Hunchback was over the holidays or something. And, you know, Purgatorio, I think, was through Lent. And so beautiful versions to read during that time. But Victor was being paid by the Lord with Hunchback. And that first 200 pages was all about the architecture of the church. And I'm like, I know this means something, kinda. But I just really struggled to get through that book. And it was a disappointment, because then I gave up before it got beautiful. And I can't now know it, you know, now that I know, right? And so, but it's kind of like the, you know, the Count of Monte Cristo or something, you know, where you're just clogging through, but it's such a beautiful, beautiful story.
Yeah. Those are my two difficult, and I did not get anywhere close to reading them in full. But I feel like, you know, they talk about it, Well-Read Mom talks about it, like, the point is not to read the whole thing, it's to, like, make an effort and then to, like, want to do that more later, you know, like, to see how you grow as a reader. It's like, and it is timing, like you said, Kara, like, some of it was like, this is a really bad time for me.
Yeah. I think, too, when you're in the throes of reading so much to your children, you know, or grandchildren, right? Like, you're just, like, reading for self is a very different labor than reading on behalf of other people. And so I've really been praying a lot this year just that God would restore that, the desire of that, like, to sit, not see it as something to get through. Because I really could use probably 6 weeks, not four. You know, to really feel like I could have that cadence. So part of it has been like I'm listening to it on Audible and then I'm reading and I'm listening and I'm reading. And that is not the sense that of what a well-read book feels like to me. You know, it's like you're one or the other. Like pick your you know, person kind of thing.
But, maybe this shows our age, Kara. Because I feel like, you know, if it's going to be worthwhile, I need to sit and read it too. So, which is why these are the books I'm going to read. I'll listen to the other ones.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, actually, is like to get, and that's one benefit of being a member is you get the books in advance if you get them that way. And then you maybe can pick and choose with a little more planning.
Yeah.
What I'll listen. But. Yeah. I actually, all three of the women in my group are Catholic. And so having that discussion around purgatory was just really, I would say that their theological impressions on the stories were really helpful for enriching some of the books for me in a way that perhaps I wouldn't have understood on my own.
Okay, let's end with one last one. What was the most comforting book for you to read?
This is Happiness.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I've actually bought others of his as well. I just find his style and what he observes. And I'm reading another book called, and it's more of like a lifestyle book, but it's called Slowing Down to the Speed of Joy. And I feel like that book embodied that. That doesn't mean that there isn't hardness and sadness and difficult hours, but you're slowing down enough to notice. And that is truly happiness, I feel. Like, it was just beautiful, beautiful story.
Yeah, I loved when he explicitly said, you know, where you learned where the title is from. So it's This Is Happiness by Niall Williams. But it was like, that was so beautiful. And it just shed light on the whole story, you know, of like, this is why this is significant. Yeah. All the things that we're told are significant just because they're your life, they're life. And and to be able to look around and see, find joy and find goodness, that is happiness, to be able to do that. Even with the hardships, even with the difficulties, even with the quote lack of progress and different things, you know, without the conveniences, you can still look around and see good.
Well, I mean, how many chapters did he spend on reading? You know, it's like,
I loved the first chapter. I was like, wait, what just happened? It could be. Oh, that was fun. It was such a funny. I just chuckled a lot out loud as I was reading it, because I loved the grandma and grandpa. And
Was
so funny. I just
So many good things.
That was a sweet book. And I know that Carol also, she did a deep dive into Niall Williams. She like got so many of his other books and was like, I read This Is Happiness and now I'm reading, you know, these other two or three by him. And I'm like, when are you doing this?
From 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., I think.
So be aware that if you read Niall Williams, you might go in a deep dive into his books. Yes. But
I've now purchased them all, because I had a consult her the other day and that was the only thing she recommended. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Oh, man. The original influencer. Carol Joy side.
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, this has been fun. I'm so glad that we could read these books. Well, we didn't read them together, but talk about them together after we've read them. And hopefully many of our listeners will join us for the Year of the Woman, which should be very interesting. So thanks for joining me today, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of homeschool made simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus's commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.